Dubai Eye 103.8.
We hand over the airwaves to an individual, but not just any old individual. We'd like to welcome in two studio leaders in their respective industries here in the region. Those that have come to the UAE, have left a mark already, and continue to do so as they make tracks in their chosen field and chosen industry. Today's subject is no stranger to success here in the region. Born and bred in the north of England, he trained and honed his skill in journalism across the UK and then chose to come to the UAE in 2005. Since then, he's worked on a variety of titles here, but also was part of the original team to set up the national newspaper that continues to this day. He was their former sports editor, but he's charged and, of course, honoured in so many different elements of journalism. But in 2010, he decided to turn his attention to the world of public relations, setting up a boutique PR agency here, which very quickly became one of the most respected award-grossing agencies here in the region. Homegrown PR agency that has been named in recent years the Agency of the Year by the Middle East PR Awards. And in recent times as well, it's honed its skills from PR into social media. He is the co-founder of one of the largest independent public relations agencies in the region. He faces the challenges that PR agencies and social media agencies here face on a day-to-day basis, and he is committed to that cause. It is the one and only Matt Slater joins us live here on Dubai Eye 103.8. Matt Slater is the subject of Making Tracks this morning, and it is a good morning to you, Matt.
Morning. That's an introduction I've never heard. That was something else. I'm going to get someone to say that every day when I walk into work.
You should have that on the loudspeaker. When you walk into the Seven Media offices, it's like, hang on, the boss is arriving. Here we go. Let's start with the sort of changing face of PR, if you like, because I mentioned there about that the challenges that you faced. You know, you set out setting up a PR agency since 2010 when you did that. Obviously, the agency has grown. It has garnered a number of awards, lots of accolades as well. But it's also the role's changed to a certain degree, hasn't it? Now, you've become more and more a social media agency of late. Is that a role that has come naturally? Is that one that you've had to work at?
I think if you look at the change in nature of it, so when we set up Seven Media, there was a print focus. You know, it was about telling stories. It was not a great transition from the kind of journalism and newspaper background we had, but recently, with, you know, social media becoming a bigger part of everyone's lives month by month, I think it's more about bringing in the people and the specialists who understand that world more than a 40-year-old man. Okay, I'm not going to be able to completely retrain my way of communicating, and it's about bringing the right people in. But equal to social is video, and video production is something we've really developed over the last 2 years of dual language video production department and telling stories via video. If you look at the stats in this part of the world, video leads the way. It's king. You know, that's how people consume stories. So I think, you know, it's understanding the channels. You know, radio's still got a great place in that as well, as much as print, which I dearly love. But, you know, we have to understand and respect that modern communications and forms of telling stories have changed hugely. And I think it's been great to see in this region the way that sometimes it's ahead of the international game on that, because there wasn't such a tradition of print and, you know, your classic journalism. So I think we sit in a very exciting time now. It is a challenge, you know, and it challenges year on year of the way we develop Seven, but it's something we embrace. And I think the people we've got at Seven are doing a fantastic job of embracing it. And, you know, through sheer hard work and putting in the effort and understanding that, you know, the game's changed and we need to change with it.
He's Matt Slater. He's the co-founder of Seven Media. We've got that. But Matt, what about you? Where do you come from? Where do you hail from?
Well, I'm from the north of England, as you can probably tell by the accent, which hasn't changed too much in the 40 years. So, yeah, I grew up in a very, you know, I have you know, amazing memories of childhood. I was thinking about it on the when I was driving in, because I spent last night dressed as a clown, knocking on people's doors with my two daughters, Violet and Ivy, asking people for sweets. And, you know, that kind of full circle thing of, I remember when I did that with my mum and dad, you know. And I think I have those classic childhood memories of, you know, playing football all the time. Football was and still is a huge part of my life. you know, and we'll get onto the music in a bit. But I grew up in, you know, a household that really encouraged doing whatever you want. I took a very early and I was very keen early on in media and writing and storytelling, and particularly around sports journalism. And that was developed and fostered. So I have amazing memories, and I think those now I'm hopefully replicating here with my family in Dubai, and doing those classic things of, you know, great holidays, you know, making everything occasion. You know, we love an occasion in our house, and that was always the thing when I was growing up. It was a very lively house, and we, you know, myself and my wife Primrose, we replicate that as much as possible, really.
In terms of what you learnt from the family that you grew up with, grew up in, you know, the values that were taught by your mum and dad. Now that you are a parent, now that you look to instil those values, and you've had time to sort of look back and go, oh yeah, I actually got taught that when I was growing up. I didn't really realise it. What do you think the ethics were that you take to this day?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you've got your own kids and you find yourself doing that thing of repeating the phrases that, you know, your mum and dad said to you when you're growing up, and you swore you'd never do it, but then you find yourself on a daily basis doing it. That I think, you know, hard work was a really key thing. My mum might tell you different of when, you know, she used to have to kick me out of bed every day and stuff. But genuinely hard work will get you places, a good attitude, a positive attitude. And just, you know, really understanding where you want to go in life and just embracing it, but having that passion. So I think they encourage any passion I had, and I'm doing the same with my daughters now, and as a family, that's what we do. So I think, you know, we're not particularly strict, but we're strict enough. But I'm not one of those, you know, I'm not particularly a pushy parent, and my mum and dad weren't. It was about understanding, you know, what I was keen on and just developing that, because, you know, they've got years ahead of them to do work and all that boring stuff. You know.
You mentioned there about your passion for football as well. Was it a childhood spent kicking a ball around as well?
Yeah, I mean, I remember, not, you know, pretty much nothing else from when I was very young until, you know, till I stopped being able to run around and kick a ball. That's all I wanted to do. And, you know, I like a lot of English lads or lads all over the world that, you know, you dream about being a footballer. Sadly, you know, those dreams die in the majority of cases. But it was all about that. That was the real passion.
Was it an outdoor childhood as well?
Yeah, very much so, absolutely. So where we lived, there was a lot of countryside around. It was all about going out, you know. And I think when you go back to the UK now, you get a bit sad about it. And I sound like an old man now, but you don't see as many kids running around and just climbing trees, you know, and all the classic stuff. So I think those are the memories I have. It was a very outdoor childhood, very driven by football, morning, noon and night, you know. And that was how I grew up. And, you know, I think school was a way of playing more football often, I'll be honest with you. Particularly in the early years.
Matt, we ask you to choose four songs for your making tracks, four sonic signposts, if you like. Songs that are significant and personal to you, little memory sticks, if you like, of your career to date, your life and growing up as well. What's your first song? Tell us about this one.
Yeah, it's David Bowie, Space Oddity. So nowadays we go on, you know, people go on great holidays, don't they? And it takes, you know, a couple of hours on a plane and all the rest of it. But when I was growing up, we got in a car from the north of England to go to the south of England for 8 hours, right? 8 hours in the back of a car with a sister who doesn't like you, you know? And the only saving grace was kind of my mum and dad had brilliant taste in music. So Bowie, The Beatles, Elton John, all that, Motown, my mum in particular. So those songs were ingrained, you know, from a very early age, those 8 hours listening to these tunes. And then when you get older, you wonder why you know all the words, right? But this was a particular favourite and still is, isn't it? You know, he's a genius.
Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Take your protein pills and put your helmet on. Ground control to Major Tom.
7, 6.
Commencing countdown, engines on.
3, 2.
Check ignition and may God's love be with you.
conversation with Matt Slater. Matt's the co-founder of 7Media here in the UAE, the agency, PR agency that was voted Agency of the Year at the Middle East PR Awards for the last 2 years running. Rob Juice is listening out there at the moment, loving the idea of the show and live as well, says Rob. He's out there keeping tabs. So thanks very much indeed for your kind thoughts, Robert Juice. Back to our subject of making tracks today, Mr. Matt Slater. We were talking about that upbringing, that happy upbringing, Macclesfield up near Manchester in the north of England. You were talking about education, the early education days as well, a means to an end of getting a ball around a field, of sort of getting involved in your passion for football as well. I mean, would you, when you look back at your education, would you said that you were a good student?
No. No. We're getting into the next part and leading up to the next song. So I think, you know, the football came first and, you know, I was moderately bright. Okay, so I did well at school. But I think, you know, there was the football was always there. That was dominant and that, you know.
Just football or sport in general?
Sport in general, but mainly football. Yeah. Sport in general, I'd play whatever, you know, I was into everything, just lapped it all up. And, you know, playing, watching, getting involved, you name it. And then I think leading into those awkward teenage boy years. Yeah. Is where their music came along, okay? In the form of the greatest band of all time, Oasis. So they came along, okay, and just out of, our music was always around, but then it became a huge part of my life, particularly this band, but music in general. So I would just happen to be watching late night TV once on local Manchester station, and they were on doing the song that we're going to hear shortly. And it just, something resonated with me. Yeah. And I just loved it. I loved everything about it. The rock and roll attitude, the music, the story behind them. So they weren't, I know everyone says this, but they weren't big or anything before I got into them. So that really flipped it around. And then, you know, school and the boring stuff at school became less important than, you know, growing my hair,
yeah,
you know, like Liam Gallagher. Dressing like Noel Gallagher. So that became at the forefront of it. So, you know, there was football and then, and it was the 90s as well, which is, you know, the most important decade in history.
Yeah.
And so that's when that kind of took over and it was a really huge part of my life then, you know, I lived and breathed Oasis and that kind of scene in general. So was I a good student? I was all right.
Get your grades.
Of course, yeah, I did. Yeah, I did very well. I went to university and everything and you know, really enjoyed that. But could I have got better grades? Absolutely. But there was all consuming things away from school, which were much more important.
In terms of uni, though, I mean, where did you go?
I went to Liverpool.
What did you study?
Media and English. So I'd always, leading up through secondary school, I would, you know, Liverpool was an interest to me because there was the, I'm not a Liverpool fan, I need to make that very clear. But there was a big music scene going on there and it felt right, you know, you go down and, you know, it wasn't too far away from home as well. So, you know, you can pop home and, you know, get your mum to do your washing.
Yeah.
And it just felt right. And, you know, media and all that kind of stuff was something that had always interested me. And it was I knew really I wasn't going to, you know, play centre forward for Manchester United, and kind of knew I wasn't going to front the next Oasis. So I thought, you know, I better at least make a nod to having a proper career at some point. So I thought media and journalism and all that stuff would really appeal. And so it fitted in very nicely. So, yeah, that's the way it went.
And when you went to Liverpool and obviously you got involved in all that beautiful city has to offer as well, get yourself through university, get your qualifications as well. Was it straightforward, straight into journalism off the back of that?
I went travelling for a year because I thought, let's delay this work thing for a year.
Yeah.
Okay, so I did that. I went travelling around Europe and various other places. Had a great time. And then I came back and I knew I was going to settle in Liverpool. And so I managed to get into kind of the local journalism scene there with a press agency, which led me on to go and work at the Liverpool Echo,
yep,
which was is the local
massive
paper.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was great fun and a great learning curve and some fantastic people. And it's where I met Greg, who co-owns Seven with me. So that's going back an awfully long way. So I got... You know, that was where I really developed a passion for journalism. And to be honest, journalism then became all consuming pretty much. Mm. I really threw myself into it because, you know, I loved the buzz of the newsroom and journalism and media in general. And it just, it didn't feel like work often, which are the best things never do. So I was able to then combine, you know, football and music and journalism. So it was the perfect fit. You know, you don't get paid very well, unfortunately, when you're starting out. But it was, yeah, so that's where kind of it all came together. And that was where I kind of knew where my career was going to go. One form or other around the age of, I don't know, 22 or whatever.
Painted a perfect picture of your time there at the 1990s as well, Rule Britannia, the whole Britpop revolution. I mean, it was just wonderful time.
Yeah, it was.
And that it leads into your next song. I mean, you talked about it a little earlier on. I hand the mics over to you.
So, yeah, this is written by Noel Gallagher, the genius, for the greatest band of all time, Oasis. And it's the greatest song of all time. It's Live Forever. My friends will tell you this. We don't even bother having the debate now about the greatest song of all time. It's this.
To the bone. Maybe I just wanna fly, wanna live but don't wanna die. Maybe I just wanna breathe. Maybe I just don't believe. Maybe you're the same as me. We see things I'll never see.
You and I are gonna live forever.
I said maybe I don't really wanna know.
This is Making Tracks, as we get to know certain individuals, leaders in their respective industries who've made tracks to the UAE and continue to make tracks here over the course of their careers and into the future. And along the way, we asked them to pick a couple of tracks as well. Our subject today is the co-founder of Seven Media, Matt Slater, who's getting a lot of love from listeners out there this morning. They're sending in their thoughts by texting us on 4001. You can do exactly the same as well. Thank you to all of you for your comments. 4 and a 0 and a 0 1 if you'd like to have your say. Back to Matt and his journey. So there we are, up in and around Liverpool, working with The Echo, cutting your teeth in the world of journalism. Did your sort of experience stay up in that neck of the woods? Did you branch down to the nation's capital?
Of a sort, yeah. So after The Echo, I went to work for News International.
Yep.
So, but I was working in the Northern office, but covering the whole of the north of England. And yeah, so we'd often go down to London and do stuff there. And, you know, the story's got a little bit bigger and all the rest of it. And then I met she's now my wife, Primrose, who was in London on Fleet Street. So that was how that became. I travelled down a bit more, obviously. And then we started talking, well, we didn't talk about. One day she said, I have seen an advert for a potential new startup newspaper in Dubai. Why don't we have a chat about it? So, because we'd often talked about where we might settle, you know, whether it'd be the north. She was against that, obviously, because she's a woman. She was going to win. So it was obviously I was going to move to London. So we talked about that. And then, but this opportunity for Dubai came up. And I think going back to, it was the end of 2004 then, to the start of 2005, that there was clearly something happening with the media in the region here, but particularly Dubai at that point, of investment in, you know, developing new newspapers, media platforms, improving, you know, the amount of radio stations and just all that. There was that kind of buzz around, and it was very clear that there was media was going to be heavily invested here, and there'd be huge opportunities. So we talked about that, and then we made the decision to come out and did, as we spoke about before the show, that we did the classic, we'll go, we'll have an adventure, we'll come back after a year, and then we can kind of pick up our careers in UK media. So that was the decision we made then, and we're still here.
So that was what, 2005 arrived?
Yeah.
Late 2004, early 2005?
Yeah. So the interviews for him happened in London. So we did those interviews, and then we got job offers. And I think there was about, I'd say about 40 to 50 people. It was called Emirates Today. It's no longer in operation. The Arabic version, Emirat Al Yum, is still here. But there was about 40 or 50 people brought in to set up a newsroom in Al Khos.
Yeah.
The
massive old warehouse, isn't it?
Yes, it was, yeah. You know, when we arrived on day one, it wasn't the sort of... the epicenter of media that we expected it to be. But it was a great laugh, you know, and we were all pretty young, and we were all in the same boat of moving here, you know, and not just trying to grapple with a new lifestyle, but also understand how you tell a media story in this part of the world. So kind of your previous experience would stand you in good stead, but you had to learn again a lot, which was brilliant. But, you know, and the handy thing with here, and it goes forward to Seven, that there was genuinely great support amongst people you needed to work with, both getting stories and across the board. There was a real positive attitude to, like, look, we know this isn't going to be easy, but if we all work together, we can try and create something different and new, you know, and we can all learn along the way.
That was the professional side of things as well. You mentioned that you came over with your now wife. Was it personally, though, as well, was it an easy sort of fit, or did you have that sort of look at each other after 6 months going, what on earth have we done here?
Well, fortunately or unfortunately, we'd never, you know, we'd worked in two separate parts of England. So it was all new for us. So kind of we were really in it together and with the other people. And I think I don't particularly remember any point where we thought, what have we done? You know, we enjoyed it. It was tough, but certainly after 6, 8, 12 months, we knew we'd made a great decision. And we were like, let's develop the next part of our careers and life here and see where it takes us. So, and as I say, the opportunities were great. Mm. You know, there was a feeling that although, you know, there were different challenges and, you know, different rules of engagement on media and telling stories and all the rest of it, that there was so much, because things hadn't been done before, right? You could make of it what you wanted, you know, and I think if there hadn't been so many other people in the same boat, if we'd have joined something more established, it'd have been more tricky. But literally those people, and most of them are friends to this day, that we went through it all together, you know.
And it was a buzzy time, 2005 up to 2010, and we'll get onto the crash in just a few moments' time and the challenges that threw up. But was it that occasion of, you talked about the optimism, you talked about the opportunities. Was it a case of one project door closes, but other opportunities arise, other doors open?
Yeah, so the first jobs we had were coming to an end for whatever reason. But, you know, it was all great. There was no negativity around. And then Abu Dhabi Media came calling and said, you know, we've got, which became The National, we've got a new newspaper startup, and it's going to be pretty serious, and it'll be a lot of fun. Do you want to be involved in the ground up? So that was something I literally couldn't believe my luck, because there was the opportunity to go in there, and again, challenges we speak about all the time, but you know, it was very clear that it's not going to be a straight road, this, but at the end of it, we may end up with a new national newspaper out of Abu Dhabi, which I think most people agree is still a good media platform
for sure,
to this day. Yeah, so that came up, and then that really cemented that we're going to be here for quite a few more years, because
you were original team, weren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I was. I employed 40, 45 journalists to come in and work what's effectively the national beat. So journalists across the country, a little bit of regional stuff. So yeah, one of the founding editors there, I think I was employed 8 months before it even started. So it was that allowed me to call my old friend Greg, who now runs Seven with me, and say, do you want to come and help me out, right? Because I need help. So he jumped on the plane, and then his kind of journey out here started then as well. So I look back with great fondness at that time as being, you know, very thankful for the opportunity. And you don't get those very often in your career, you know. You rarely will get a call to say, do you want to help build a huge media operation of some sort. It just doesn't happen, yeah.
Everybody sits in that desk, that sits on that chair for Making Tracks, have been here during that testing period of late 2009, 2010, 2011, when we all know that industries across the board, not just here in the UAE, but worldwide, were affected by a downturn in business worldwide. And it seemed to be a sort of a changing time here as well. There were those that had to leave the country to pursue interests elsewhere, those that chose to stick it out here. There were very few that choose to open up their own business during that time, Matt.
Yeah, that was a difficult conversation with my wife. So we said, like, look, we enjoy this, myself and Greg, and I was like, you know, we could do our own thing, couldn't we? Now we've learned quite a lot, and you know, we used to have these conversations, and then I said, right, let's throw everything in we've got, and you know, we made the decision to launch Seven. You know, we didn't do it blindly. We'd done our research, and we knew that if we worked hard and we were willing to throw everything at it, certainly in the first year, then we'd either succeed or fail. And if we failed, then we've tried it, right? But there's every chance we could succeed. But I think people look back on that time, and I understand there was the huge pressures and people went through an awful time across the board. But I think we cut our cloth accordingly, right, is a good phrase. That we knew we weren't going to go out there and be huge straight away, that it was going to be a battle. So we picked things we were interested in. We picked up some good sport work. You know, we did a little bit of lifestyle work. And we worked tirelessly with a great team we had of three or four other people to just get through that time and have a business worth being proud of that could work when these things go in cycles, which they always do. So, yeah, it was... People said I was mad, right? But looking back, I think it was a really good opportunity to, you know, at a time when other things aren't going as well, to try and be bold and say, you know, we can work here, and yeah, it can't get any worse than this, right? So if we make it now, it'd be all right after.
They've been named the Agency of the Year, Middle East PR Awards, for the last 2 years. So I think that confidence has paid dividends. Next tune number three for us, Matt Slater.
Yeah, so you were speaking before. This is well away from Oasis or any kind of mainstream music. Most people won't have heard of this band, but it's a band called The Flaming Lips, Yoshimi Battles of Pink Robots. And this was the album that stretched over from my time in the UK to moving here. Me and my wife listened to it constantly. Me and my friends were into it. And it just brings back great memories of that moving period.
She's a black belt in karate, working for the city. She has to discipline her body, 'cause she knows that it's demanding to defeat the
are in conversation with Mr. Matt Slater. Matt is the co-founder of Seven Media, the agency of the year at the Middle East PR Awards for 2017 and 2018, one of the largest independent public relations agencies in the region, which begs the question, was we've got to that point now, the growth of Seven Media to what, about 70 employees now or more than that nowadays?
Yeah, no, we're around there, and we're regional now. You know, we kind of came out of the UAE and we've got a good regional footprint, and we do international clients and all the rest of it. So yeah, I think that's where we're at now, and yeah, it's been a great journey.
You and Greg set out on that journey in 2010 to set up a boutique PR agency. Why Seven? Where's the name come from?
Seven Emirates.
Perfect.
There's a footballer called Eric Cantona. You may have heard of him, who played in the number seven. I met Eric in Dubai, actually. It was a highlight of my life. We've had some absolutely brilliant people with us and helped us, and you know, in the early days and up to now. That, you know, you've got to recognize that when you're trying to communicate in this region, you know, it can be difficult of the lines between English and Arabic, and understanding that, you know, you've got to try and as much as you can communicate to as many people as possible. And I think if you don't make that commitment and that investment to the Arabic language and communication skills there, then you're going to suffer. And I think especially when you're going regional, there has to be an understanding from the ground up within an agency, any comms agency, that you've got to do that. So I think, yeah, that's been, and it's probably one of the biggest learning things we've had, in all honesty. And it's been great. And I think, you know, as I say, it's testament to the people who've worked with us all these years that we are so strong in that area.
You started this conversation talking about the sort of changing face of comms at the moment, from traditional PR concepts to the more sort of social PR that we're doing now, or social media in many ways. How does that work on a day-to-day basis? Are you finding that you, Greg, the rest of the team, the teams that you work with, are needing to think more out of the box? And is that one of the reasons why you've had recent success? I mean, Bring Home George is something that is now synonymous with the city as well. Who would have thought of coming up with an idea like that? Is that the sort of road you need to go down now?
I think, yeah. And I think if you go back, look, it's all born, you know, the mantra we have is, you know, we try and tell stories, okay? Yeah. More than, you know, there's strategy involved and all the rest of it. But telling a story is at the heart of everything we do and at the heart of daily life. So I think you do have to think out the box more. And it's about thinking what's going to make this entertaining and people actually enjoy. I think you go back a decade, you could have got away with a solid story written as a release or a story, and you'd get coverage and play and all the rest of it. What now you've got to do, you've got to think visually, you've got to think stunt, you've got to think how can I bring this to life in this. You know, everyone sits around on their smartphones and you know, iPads and all the rest of it, and they're consuming media constantly. How do you stand out from the pack there? Whether you're communicating to a managing director of business, or whether you're communicating to a teenager or a family, right? When you're trying to communicate to those people, you've got to really make it different. So, yeah, the brassy stuff with Bring Home George, classic example of doing something that was wildly different, yeah. and getting great results from it. And also, you know, and I say this a lot, it's supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's supposed to be a fun job. So I think that you have that. Yeah, there's serious stuff we do, but it's about, even if you're doing corporate communications, it's about standing out from the crowd. And I think that's our calling card and what we do, you know, on a daily basis. And it's not for everybody, you know. There are certain areas we're not going to go into, but we're an agency that bring a story to life and tell those stories, you know, in a different way.
You're a businessman, Matt, a successful businessman, a leader in your industry. You're also a husband and a proud dad of two as well. How's that been with the growth of the business and that age-old demand for balance as well? Are you able to find balance between family and business?
I think ultimately, yes, because I think when you run a business, you can have time off when there's maybe, you know, quite a period, but it is tricky when it's full on, you know, and you've got Halloween and you've got all these occasions, right? And you've got to do as much as you can, and you've got parents' evenings and this, that. That's when it becomes tricky, that balance then. But then, you know, come summer when things get quieter in the region, there is, you know, opportunity to spend more time with your family. So I think in the early days of Seven, it was trickier. But as you grow and you become more comfortable in yourself and the business, it becomes easy, and it becomes, you know, getting the balance is a lot easier. So, you know, you can spend, you know, as much time as possible with your kids at the weekend, and it doesn't intrude as much as it might once have.
I've thoroughly enjoyed this, Matt. I hope you have as well. You've been our subject of Making Tracks this week. We thank you for your time. Just before we go, though, the future's bright for Seven. Much on the horizon?
Oh, yeah, hopefully. Yeah, no, there's loads going. I think we were just talking about it before, you know, it's that time of year where there's going to be a brilliant 8-9 months, you know, there's lots going on in the world of business, you know, tourism, events, sport, you name it. So I think these next 8 months are always key for everything we do. But I think hopefully we'll have as big a success as we've had these last 7 or 8 years.
Thank you for sharing your stories and your experiences with us here on Dubai I-103.8 on the agenda around Making Tracks. There is one final tune, though, my friend, and it's over you to tell us why you've selected track number 4.
Yeah, so you mentioned how does someone go from the Flaming Lips to Katy Perry? Okay, it's very easy. You have two girls, right, who get in your car every Friday demanding Katy Perry on. And I don't just mean one song. I mean like over and over and over again. I must know about 15 Katy Perry songs word for word now. But Raw, which is Violet and Ivy's big favourite, starts the weekend usually. So, you know, that's the one we put on. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, I quite like it.
Matt Slater, we quite like the stories. We're quite like you being here in the studio. That is the co-founder of Seven Media. Matt Slater plays out with Katy Perry's Raw. Thanks for listening. We're back on Sunday at 10. Till then, Raw.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.